Hello everyone and welcome to our audio commentary of Resident Evil Degeneration. We have made it, ladies and gentlemen. We have made it. We have climbed the canon ladder, starting well below in the depths of non-canon in the live-action films. We gradually crept up to the 4D executor, tantalisingly touching the kind of mystical non-canon area. But we're here, we're at the top. We're now doing an audio commentary on a fully canon entry into the Resident Evil franchise. I'm Nick, better known as Neptune, so let's see who's joining us for our audio commentary. Well, first up, we have Stars Tyrant.
Hello and welcome.
We have Rombi.
Hello.
And making a welcome return, we also have Mr. Spencer.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
All very good. Thank you, John, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, as I've said, we are playing through and watching together Resident Evil Degeneration. Now, for anyone who wants to join along at home, this is going to be a lot easier than the last one. We are watching the UK/PAL version on Blu-ray. Except you, John, you're watching an online digital version. So, hopefully, the digital version is PAL related and it isn't too different, because of something I learned on these audio commentaries is that NTSC runs differently to PAL.
It should be okay. It was from like Amazon Prime, so it's like Blu-ray sort of thing as well. So it should...
So fingers crossed. So fantastic. So we're going to quickly talk about the film as we go along. What you need to do at the moment, then, we are just paused at the beginning of the chapter, chapter one, and I think we start. The film kicks off with the kind of Capcom logo, so we are paused right at the beginning. We've got a nice black screen, and we're just gonna have a chilled out podcast with some audio commentary from the rep team. So if everyone is ready, we'll click play after 3, 2, 1, go, and then on go we can all click play. So
we are starting at the Capcom logo, yes,
chapter one of the Blu-ray, people of the Blu-ray.
Okay. Fantastic. So 3, 2, 1, go. There we go. So we are off.
Such a weird logo.
It's about as close to the MCU Capcom as you'll get.
Look at that. RE5.
It's pre.
So here we go. So we've got this news report, already a controversial inclusion now in light of Remake 3.
I was going to say, you start off saying Kennedy entry and it's like, wow.
Tony Nichols from LA, very good.
PFBC.
So we're assuming that's President Graham?
I think it was, yes. And there's the Paris facility.
No, that can't be President Graham because he resigned.
Oh, yes, correct. Oh, yes, the gibberish Manuel Grande.
There's a trivia. For people who are interested, there's a trivia track on the blue. Checking it out. Speaking gibberish.
Ah, yes, just like we were to see more new organisations.
Every precaution, huh? Imagine living in like Harvardville or whatever, and it's like, hey, 100,000 people are here. Like, isn't that like how many people there were in Raccoon City where that huge disaster took place?
Oh, and there's our first shot of Curtis Miller there.
Played by Roger Craig Smith in a pre-Chris Roll. Ah.
I wonder if he got the Chris Roll because of this.
Of course, this is Terra Save's first appearance.
Yes.
Because Terra doesn't have to end with Riss. It's a Lishrash. No, no, it isn't.
Every news report. It's a no, no.
It's a virus.
So there we see. Still, with the remake font, we like that.
Yeah, I got a huge buzz out of seeing this the first time.
Now, they did use some live-action shots. I think that is not CGI. Well, some of them are. So certainly the end shot is live.
Some really? Of based off. I don't think so. I think it's all stop.
This might be. They're definitely the last, the very last shot is live. I remember reading
ground.
That.
So stuff. I wonder if the trivia track tells
it. Maybe.
So this is November 12th, I think, 2005.
Oh, thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean.
It's still the shot. Oh no, wait.
I'd say it's very
zombies.
Very zombiest.
And here we go. Returning to the series.
I may be some seconds ahead of you guys.
Thought that might happen.
There's Rani. Yeah. We've just seen Rani.
Mm-hmm. I'm just seeing Claire right now.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, it's good.
You're about 3 seconds ahead, I think, Mr. Riz.
This is... Oh, this is... Appreciate the Alison Court.
Yeah, she plays this so well. This is one of my favourite appearances of Claire. I think she's wonderful in this.
For a movie that came out in 2008, the character facial image.
I love Claire's like outfit here.
Yeah, it's not. It looks good.
It should be an in-game unlock in remake
something.
Two.
Something.
Or Revelations too.
Sorry, you cut out Rob when you said about you were talking about the in-game animations.
Oh yeah, the character for a movie that came out in 2008. There's a little bit of stiffness to some of the other animation stuff's good.
I can imagine the budget wasn't overly high for this.
No, it made $43 million.
That guy in the plane looks a little bit like William Birkin.
He did.
I was thinking the same thing. At least the original.
His brother that he never told anyone about. Twin brother.
Johnny Birkin.
John Birkin. That's the guy. Oh my god, look at this obviously evil man.
No.
Look how
bad guys like that guy.
It's worth saying he's the worst thing about the movie because everything about his character is just a cliche. It's painful, actually.
Now, Mr. Downey, he's the only chap I could probably cosplay well.
Yes, actually. All that dude in the Yoris Evil Zero intro. On the
yes,
plane.
I could do him. Or I could do Downey.
Gets killed a leech in the documents.
Yeah, it's just
scraping the barrel, gentlemen. Scraping the barrel.
I like Downen as a character. I think he's all right. I think he's well realised.
There is a distinct lack of characters in the Resident Evil franchise that wear glasses, and it's a fundamental part of me being able to see that I need a character to cosplay that wears glasses.
And he's
just get contacts, Nick. Contacts.
Oh, my eyes.
then you can cosplay someone else.
I remember. I remember in one of the really early RE horror forum threads was that Downing was Wesker in disguise with the greyed hair. It was just so stupid.
My brain hurts just hearing that.
So, if everyone remembers, this game was released. This film was first shown at Tokyo Game Show back in 2008, but released theatrically then in October of that year.
So the game show would have been Timber Sermon.
Yeah.
Before. So one of the jarring things I found with this, when you do like a retrospective run through this, you know, a chronological run through the series, is that this occurred only like a few couple of months after the events of Revelations, yet none of the news reports in the beginning reference a tragedy as big as that.
Yes, the destruction of an entire city by the sun, of all things.
Which well, that was in Europe, and this is America. Like David said, he doesn't care about what happened outside America.
It's him, it's the bad guy.
How's this?
Yeah. Good work, little girl, managing to get a new picture look.
Now, see, this film gets talked about as the first time the perfected T-virus...
No.
Because this here we see people turn to a zombie very, very quickly.
That looks like Carnival from The Horror is Alive, that dude.
If you say so.
See, the thing is, again, you talking about perfected in the rights and stuff, it's just literally for the plot. It's
yeah, of course. Plot. Yeah.
That's the only important thing.
Oh, Claire, honey, why did you say that? Because this guy's an idiot.
Oh, this looks a bit... How did he get past security?
It ain't a mask.
Ron Davis there doing the Nikolai maneuver. Backing away when the trouble's going down.
All these people just standing there before they run.
See, look, arguably it could be contained right now. Can it shoot him?
Shoot both of them.
Claire should be all over it. Like, shoot. Done. Come on, Claire, give some advice. He's going to turn. No, he's not, obviously.
It's Wesker in disguise.
Oh, he's certainly a beef Wesker, isn't he?
Yep. That was a very quick transition, I think, to a zombie.
Yes, yeah. So it's been one of the big discussion points. Compare it to Itchy Tasty Man from the original.
No, that's my gun. I need that.
What's that shot of the clock for? That was really random. What
was
that?
You almost expect blood to splash up against it or something, and it just never happens.
I'd like to tell you what the time is. It's lunchtime. I can see it in the background of the shot. It's the clock, wasn't
it? Well, the clock behind the...
PPFBC. Again.
Jeez.
The thing is, though, if something were like this, it would happen this quick, I think. If the virus could turn people that quick, it would be very difficult to stop.
Hmm.
Curtis Miller is such like it's such a time crisis villain name. You know, like the little intro, it's like Curtis Miller. VSSE, you fools.
Don't help the bad guy.
Don't help the obviously evil guy.
He's got too thick pinstripe on in the it's a sign. If someone wears really thick pinstripe suits.
Very dynamic camera work and very good.
When did this come out again? 2005?
2008. Yeah. About, what was it, half a year before? RE5.
That's still kind of close to like when 9/11 happened. That's why I was sort of thinking a little insensitive at times, maybe. I don't know, for the time it was.
Now, in Resident Evil Degeneration, the mobile game, you get to battle Proto Tyrant now. Randomly.
In a series where people want to talk more about characters' faces than they do lore and things like that, I will say they've captured Claire's face really well in this. So
yes.
Recognisably Claire.
So I don't think we ever find out within the...
There he is.
Oh, he is? It does look like Birkin from Zero, doesn't it? Yeah, good shout.
Yeah. That's John Birkin.
It's John Birkin.
He's an identical twin brother that he never told anyone about.
See, that's a real shot. That's not CGI.
That's CGI, Nick.
No, it's not. No.
The tower's obviously CGI. Sunset.
Look at that fucking Ground Zero's base down there. Camp Omega.
Camp Omega.
No place for Hideo.
It's a legit no.
Hello. I feel we're going to be disappointed with this. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Are these real people? Are they filming real people? Sorry. Had to do it.
I don't even know how extensive the motion capture would have been in this. I can't imagine they'd have had a lot of motion capture, to be honest.
I don't know, because obviously that might have been where some of the budget went for the motion capture and stuff in places, because this was, you got to remember, it's the same time they're making.
So these are survivors.
Oh, that's everyone in the world right now.
Yeah.
Just
wanting to let her get out.
New organization, kind of. The SRT are just the Harvardville stars, really, aren't they?
I think this guy's played by Steve Blum, I think.
It is correct, yes.
That is the voice of the best voice actress in the world, Laura Bailey.
Yeah.
Helena Harper.
It's Helena Harper. It's amazing to think that, Laura Bailey was relatively unknown when this came out.
This is also Helena's, long-distant relative.
Yeah.
like John Birkin.
Yeah, like John Birkin. Not as direct, but...
The same
second
sort of,
cousins or something. Yeah.
Does look too much like her, though, doesn't it?
Well, it's absolutely stupid that it wasn't Angela in RE6.
Mm.
That would have fit so well.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They could have had some back and forth, just like Harvardville, huh?
It's a shame.
See, it's amazing how this team is, and quite a lot of the characters in this are so dismissive about BOWs and zombies and whatnot, when obviously we now know from Revelations that the world was made aware of all these things after the events of Terra Grigia.
Sean, yes.
Yeah, but people can still be dismissive.
Then, Revelatons.
Revelatons.
And it showed at the beginning. Also, at the beginning of this film, it showed the map of how many incidents there were around the world. So,
yeah.
It seems
maybe they're just complacent.
Oh, hello.
I still need Leon to tell them to shoot them in the head.
It's a plank of wood.
Controversial. I like this version of Leon. I like the fact that he's
like this?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm so pleased they toned it down from Resident Evil 4, because I found that was parody all the way and hated it.
And then they brought it back for Vendetta. John Wick.
John.
He does have.
Bob.
I was going to say, he does have a permanent frown in this Leon, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. But he's just purely business in this. This is Matt Mercier, who obviously played Leon in Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
And this was the second of his three appearances, with obviously Darkseid still to come. I think he was a fine Leon actor, actually. I think he suited where Leon was in his life, as I think all the Leon actors did. I think Haddad worked really well as rookie. Mercier worked really well as the sort of this super professional. And then the Matt Mercier take was a lot more jaded and... sort of crestfallen, and I think each one does well with the era of Leon they're playing. Even if it is a plank of wood.
he just needs a bit of cheer up, mate.
That's right. Who do you think this guy is? He's a plank of wood. He's a plank of wood.
Angela's impressed, though. You could always see. She's like, oh yeah, I like that wood.
For fuck's sake. It's a real shot of a helicopter, that.
Someone will back me up. So, someone will tell me I'm right. I don't know what shots, but...
That gun is the Silver Ghost, is it? Or something like that? In a nice bit of continuity.
Nice.
It's real, too.
Oh, God, I can't remember what it's called. it's the finger. That's what it's called.
The finger.
So I'm not a gun person, but I want to point out there a nice attention to detail was Leon showing excellent trigger discipline on his gun there. That's actually good. That's a good thing.
Not accidentally shooting someone.
Look where his finger is. It's really good.
They're quite dismissive. Don't the SRT take the piss out of him for all his gestures in a minute?
I seem to think. I think you're right. Look at this guy doing actual SWAT stuff that we do in our job. And we'll lab them for doing what we do.
Well, the SRT are obviously unaware that Leon's got plot armor, and that's indispensable in a zombie outbreak.
It's very useful to have.
Yes.
You know, I don't actually think the lighting and everything on this is pretty good.
It is.
I think this holds up quite well for a 12-year-old CG movie.
It's because the lighting's real.
All right.
Sorry, I had to do it. No, the lighting is really good. It's one of the things that really helps us.
So, for other people, there are two versions of Resident Evil Degeneration, the mobile game. You've got the one that runs on the iPhone, which is actually quite cool, which is the one, as I mentioned earlier, has the proto-tyrant in. But there's also a 2D version, which is actually just a reskinned version of a Resident Evil 3 game. It's identical. The missions are identical, just they've just put like the airport environments over the top. So there you go.
Even during a commentary of a movie, Nick, you have to pedal your mobile game.
I will pedal it. It's to build demand for people going, we want a whole podcast on this. It's like, yes, you do. They just don't know it yet. Anyway, let's go. No, he's not okay. Yes, yeah, so this goes back to the point you were making earlier that they should know what zombies and things are.
And or he should have briefed his team better. If he knew what they were going into, he should have said, "Oh, you know, these things are not going to be, you know, the living."
What he should have done is said, "Right, give everyone a Magnum. Yes. Go in here, shoot everything you see. Just don't stop. Just shoot everything."
Well, Leon's handgun's got Magnum ammo in it anyway in this.
45. Take my 45.
I mean, the thing is, like, you could argue the SRT members are green enough that they've not experienced anything like this. But Chris's team in Vendetta are still doing this shit. Being hesitant and, you know, waiting on trigger, you know, waiting on pulling the trigger, and it's just so stupid.
There's the back of the box art, by the way. On the,
it's a good
CD.
Shot.
Sean, you were asking before about motion capture. Apparently they actors flew to Japan and they did 2 days of body and facial capture.
Oh, cool. Well, as in the voice actors did. So, Alison and Matt. Paul.
Quite possibly, but you've checked the credits. It just says the cast. I don't know.
It's Hudson, everybody.
So you say that like the most important character in the world. Now, see, I always wondered, like, would someone get infected if, like, blood splattered on them? Because in a lot of, like, zombie films and things like that, it can creep into their eyes and...
I would say he's probably...
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it'd have taken through his eyes, wouldn't it?
I don't think we've ever seen something like that, though, in Resident Evil. Someone kind of be infected that way. I know the live-action films did have said kind of like a one bite, one scratch. I don't think a scratch from a zombie would infect you.
I think it probably would. I think at the very least you would get tetanus.
But it's like that, you know, I think we've spoken before about like hunter BOWs. You know, a slash from that wouldn't turn you into a zombie. They're not designed to do that. Anyway. There's old Ron. I suppose in the advancement of CGI now, you know, you look at like Claire's outfit, it doesn't move, does it? It's like a...
No.
It's just a permanent...
It certainly has its limitations.
Yeah. The hair's good, though. Hair's always traditionally been one of the hardest things to get on these things, and, you know, there's a lot of movement.
The facial stuff, too, is not perfect, but it's definitely... Because the different lip movement and stuff is really hard to. It's like the heads are really.
Get a remake in 20 years.
Nice bit of irony coming up here.
Yep.
Oh, the umbrella, yeah. Yeah.
It's just a beautiful Easter egg, isn't it?
Has anyone got one of those umbrellas?
No, I don't actually.
I have an umbrella and branded. Where is it from?
Maybe you could buy them, but when I was at uni, all the shops sold them. But
I like there's some guy on umbrella like who's overseeing this, going, "Yeah, we're helping you out now, Claire, with the umbrellas. Now you need our help."
It's strange. She has gone from like a grenade launcher down to an umbrella.
Far superior weapon.
Linear launcher.
The Lydia launch is great. I often just thought, why are we not making these things?
Get down. Nice.
Did anyone here play Resident Evil 2? Do you remember that bit at the beginning? Hit the die there.
I like that though. It's neat.
Do you think Leon stalks Claire everywhere, and every time she has to get down, some voice goes, "Get down!" and she gets down, and there's Leon there going, "Oh no, it's just a cat." Who's the voice actor?
Leon's face is not right, eh?
It changes at times through the movie as well.
Yeah. And at times he looks very Asian. Like,
he looks like a Terminator. He just doesn't move. He's like, his face is full of Botox.
He's a stoic professional, please, Nick. He's a master of his emotions now.
Stoic piece of wood.
Otherwise, he'd be just forever going around the movie going, "Claire, wait!"
It worked!
I do like moments like that in the series where they refer to Raccoon as this massive moment of history. I think it gives the series and that event real gravitas.
Yeah, and then we're reminded of Remake 3.
So long, RC.
So long. Whatever. See you tomorrow.
I've not finished that game yet.
I want some cola. I want some cola, thanks. RC Cola.
One of my favourite bits coming up. Goofy action nonsense, but I love it.
Yeah, you got a bit of scope in these to do a bit more silly things.
Short controlled bursts.
Oh no.
That looks so bad. Him crawling towards the camera like that?
He got bit. Because of your fat ass.
See, according to others, he should have already turned by now, but, he still has time.
Maybe it's also depending on where the bite is.
Yeah.
The one that turns quickly, like, right on the neck.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah.
Look at that concept art shot there. I've
it's
noticed
more of a, at first you're like, "What are you looking at?" It takes you a few. Sorry.
I've noticed that Ron Davis, like, he falls down a lot in this film.
Mm.
Now this is when they should have watched Shaun of the Dead. God, yes, this is how we get past lots of zombies.
Who died and made you king of the zombies? Mm. That's pretty good.
Again, though, nice lighting from the kind of beams of light kind of coming in. So we think, if I remember correctly, that the aeroplanes is Curtis Miller set that up as well, didn't he? He knew it was going to land at this airport.
Out of the way, little girl.
My dumbass is better than yours.
We get Claire's hero moment now. It's Ace.
Is that your favourite bit you were talking about?
It's one of them, yeah. I just think it's great just to see her have a... this is her only moment of action she gets, really. So it's nice to see.
Oh, no, she's
even
got...
while... Go on. Sorry, I was going to say, even being grabbed by zombie Leon's face does not change
expression. it's like a tree being... Okay, I like that.
She may not like a gun, but she knows to use one.
That is absurdly stupid. I'm sorry that I completely forgot about that. It's ridiculous.
Just a little bit.
It's on par with the live action movies in some respect.
I kind of wish Leon now would do like a stupid like Metal Gear line with like, isn't that gun a bit big for a lady? Here, take my 45. And it's like, you gave me the gun, Leon. This is your gun that you gave me like a second ago.
Dude.
I just think fans wanted a bit more. Oh my god, it's Claire and Leon back together. And it didn't you know, it didn't quite.
Well, you get an RE2 flashback in a minute. It's about 3 seconds long.
Hmm. We poor Rani joining the list of little girls in this franchise that don't get a lot of coverage.
I'm sure there's still some people out there that won't know this, but Rani is mentioned in the extended RE6 files on Resident Evil Net, but a translation goof calls her Ronnie and refers to her as a boy.
Yes. Ah. And also, Rani is voiced by Michelle Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Another nice.
That's amazing. Voice. I did not know that.
I should have looked up.
And that's Resident Evil Degeneration, folks. Thank you for watching.
We saved the day. We've beaten the zombie out.
Yeah.
So they should have done this from the beginning. Just like send the soldiers in.
Yeah, just set them. Yeah.
Just because it's working.
Light them up. Yeah. Not a small crew, seeing a giant squad. And again, it's kind of like what Nick was saying. Someone should learn something from Shaun of the Dead.
It's like you don't need like it feels like all that, like, I know Ron Davis was in there, but it just feels like the whole sort of just having just Leon in there is pointless. Just send in the military.
Leon is useless, that is correct.
Nice one.
Well, hold on a minute. He didn't cause the zombie outbreak that she was in, you know, without him knowing about it.
No, that was for dumping the little girl down the hill.
But she saw a zombie eat a guy's face right in front of her, screamed about it, probably had PTSD for that, but no, it's that's what scared her, what Ron Davis did. Not all the stuff that happened before
He did throw her down the frickin' thing in front of zombies to save her own arm.
She was fine.
She's fine.
Only because of Claire and Leon.
A pitch of these scientists.
Whisker in that photo?
Yeah, I was going to say, it wouldn't be great if it was looking only one photograph. The exact one. And it was like, wait, what? Why is that there?
Oh, you can tell that's Roger, can't you?
Yes.
They really do like reusing voice cut thing. I guess that's the industry in general.
Cheaper.
Well, yeah, but also the good voice talent.
Yeah. Like Laura Bailey.
Yeah. Laura Bailey, yeah. Craig Smith, and
Now, this is the first of general vaccine, isn't it, that they've Will Farm have created? Ah. There's Hunnigan.
One of the only characters with a consistent voice actress all the way through her appearances.
There were like stupid theories.
Because there's minimal number of appearances, that's why.
At the end of Ori 4, when she had like her glasses taken off. Yeah. Like, hell, your glasses are off. And people were like, oh, it's because she's Ada. That's Ada. Because she took the glasses off because it's, you know, it's.
It didn't surprise me, you know. This is a series where Nemesis has to be someone important.
Yeah, you don't. He should be.
Yeah, quite a few. Billy is Nemesis.
Oh, Billy's not important. Oh, one of my favourite Rod Davis lines is coming up.
It's
here he is.
Like Blue Umbrella.
It is a shame that I'm a few seconds ahead because I'm waiting for that line instead. Look at this evil, these evil people. I wanted Rod Davis to look up at Downey for like approval, like yeah.
Seriously though, why wasn't Vendetta the actual meaning of the word Vendetta? Frederick Downing coming back,
revenge.
Oh yeah. I escaped from prison.
Because it just would have finished off the trilogy in a nice, you know, the Leon CG trilogy.
There it is. There it is.
Is that the one, Mr. S? I like this scene. I think this is good.
Clear in a plank of wood.
Yeah.
Still a plank of wood. He's not moved.
He's not even moving. He's just like standing there like a plank of wood. Oh, he moved his mouth.
He's like standing to attention, isn't he? It's like, oh, we'll stand.
I just like this bit.
Oh, well, here we go. Leon A, Claire B, which one?
Yeah. And neither, because Claire has a shotgun.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's a nicer shot than the one in Resident Evil 3.
I was going to say that's about as long as the ending, isn't it?
I like this.
I'm not finished that game yet.
I'm going to scrub this virus from the face of the earth.
That's a good line.
Jared, I'm going to scrub it off.
Look at his posture. It's very impressive, isn't it? Look at his very...
Very rigid, almost like a plank of wood.
Doesn't even move.
I really love the sentiment there that Leon sort of just says that Claire and him went down different paths, but I wish he wouldn't say it in a way that makes it sound like he's talking about RP, you know, role-playing game classes. Rescuer and fighter.
Well, that's because you've got a voice actor who likes playing RPGs.
It's like, oh, I see you decided to be more of a bard, Claire.
But I appreciate that scene, and that's in the later years, maybe when, like, you know, things like Resident Evil 6 haven't been as good as they should be. It's those little character moments that I take the most out of the series now.
Leon would make a terrible bard because his charisma's so low in this film. Can you imagine him with, like,
That's a different Leon face to any other we've seen in the movie so far. And I do like the fact that he starts every scene in the upright, straight position, and then does something like run, and then immediately reverts back to that straight upright position. He like literally doesn't move at all, does he? There's not even any breathing animation.
It's like when someone, it's like a T-pose, isn't it? When a character like falls over or something, and just sort of they ragdoll, they reset like their face.
It's odd too, because the others actually have some bit of more movement in them a lot of the time. Like, you know.
Because we know why, don't we, Nick? Because this is the fucking Gaiden Leon, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes, it's not the real one. It's the recovery.
I feel like this Leon in this was a direct sort of response to all the people that complained that Leon was too jovial and jokey in RE4. So, we'll make him serious. But they did the Blizzard thing of going too far in one direction and not balancing anything for shit. Like, it's okay to tone down the jokiness, but that doesn't mean, yep, he's going to be a complete plank of wood devoid of emotion. Like, no, that doesn't mean less jokey.
Dum, dum, dum.
Say Curtis Miller there is demonstrating the quarantine hairstyle we all have.
That's more of a beard.
It's got to end, to be honest, because I need to get to the hairdressers because I'm starting to look like Terry Nutkins here. I've just dated this commentary, by the way, so years from now, people will look and go, oh, yeah. Now I remember that year.
Now, see, Curtis survived Raccoon, didn't he? You're not really quite sure how, but he's just one of the early evacuees.
Well, that again doesn't make sense why the SRT being so flippant about zombies and stuff earlier on when her brother survived the incident in Raccoon City.
Here's my problem with all that.
Inconsistent.
Right?
Then he went for Terror Save, didn't he?
When I think when you start having like all these survivors in Raccoon City, it devalues Leon and Claire as like, and Joe as well, right? I can understand like a dozen people getting out or something, or half a dozen. But when you have like, oh yeah, this guy made it out, and then this guy made it out, and these people made it out, it's like kind of cheapens it a little bit. It's like, oh, guess anyone can survive that, you know?
Well, if people got out early
like Downing actually, I think he left before. Oh, the shit hit the fan.
Well, Downing's the worst because he managed to somehow escape with the G-Virus, something that, you know, in Remake 2, Hunk didn't even get to do. So, not quite sure how.
We found it in a sewer like Hunk.
You can get a lot of Angela's and Curtis's backstory in Angela's Diary, which came out in the Japanese Blu-ray box set, I think it was.
Yes.
It's okay. It's quite detailed, but it arguably has Angela far too connected to the events of all this, like before they actually happen. It's a bit cute like that.
That car looks like, and I'm not a car person, but it looks like, of course, like he's driving a Jaguar. It looks like one.
Yeah, it does look like a Jaguar.
All baddies drive Jaguars, everyone knows.
It's at this point, unfortunately, that Claire gets rather irritatingly sidelined for the rest of the movie now. And is really barely in it anymore.
Which is silly, especially considering the way they marketed it as well.
Yeah. I would have liked Claire to have been like the main character and Leon play a sideline role. He's even a plank of wood in the truck.
It's a nice still image right there.
Yeah, should we have the radio on, Leon? No. So, how are you? Fine.
I'm fine.
Don't talk, drive.
He turned his head very slightly. I was amazed.
Perhaps he's being tracked by the US government. Perhaps he knows he's not allowed to say boo to a goose in case.
I'd be tracked by my employers. Of course. Like, why wouldn't they keep tabs on him?
But look, it's a crashed helicopter in the middle of the forest.
Look, Chris.
That was pretty good, actually. Now do Steve Burnside.
No, you're right.
Oh, Claire! Oh, hi, Claire.
Now, if this was Vendetta, Angela would scream no into the sky. Come on, Angela, don't let us down.
No, 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 dude. She would, like, pull out her pistol and shoot it into the air.
Point Break.
Yeah, pull that his gun is good. Ah, bang, 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 bang. Like Willem Dafoe in Boondock Saints.
That's an amazingly well-positioned photograph for her to find exactly where she dropped to her knees, isn't it?
Unless he left it there.
Yeah. Well, maybe she was attracted by the twinkling item, you know.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, twinkling in the light of the fire.
Well, it never stops it in the main games, does it?
I just realised, doesn't like Downing take us to like fucking Nest or some shit?
Yeah,
it is. It's a Harvardville Nest. This is about 8, I think. Nest 8.
They're all going to be Nest.
Former umbrella facility, no doubt.
This is the most ridiculous lab going, though, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, itself was it self destruction slash self
collapses in segments. Yeah, it makes for a great final sequence, though.
Yes,
I do like the action sequence at the end of this. It's daft, but I do embrace that part of the series sometimes. You know, and there isn't the finger, so we're all right.
Yeah.
And that's why you have biometrics in case the card doesn't work.
So you say that it doesn't have the finger and all that. And someone was just saying before about remaking this. You know, in the end, it's going to rip.
Like, Gunnell, please.
Picked up by Leon, Wood Leon.
Degeneration Complete Edition.
Mm-hmm. They should do a remastering, a reimagining of Degeneration. Put Peter Fabiano in charge of it.
I think what's quite good, I mean, it plays out a bit like a game, doesn't it, the CGI film? You can almost see, you know, they had the map at the beginning, look at the map, this is what we're going to do. New, you know, going to new areas, new lab, that kind of thing. And it feels a bit like that kind of...
Well, what a perfect moment for Rob to tell us about what he thinks of the maps in this movie.
Thinks about what? Sorry,
the maps, because you enjoy the map.
Map transitions are your speciality. We've got one coming up, haven't we?
I think we have.
Yes.
So this film, it came out in 2000. Well, no, it's set in 2005, right?
Five. Yeah.
And it released end of 2008.
Did they have like hologram technology back then? Did we?
I don't know if it's technically hologram. It's like a projected. You could kind of get away with it.
Could we do it?
Because it's within a space. It's a projection. Like it's not like a physical projection. It's like you could actually probably do something.
And weirdly, all Claire's seen just there is some white hovering text appear at the bottom of her vision, which says, "You have taken the Will Farmer map."
Mm. It is odd that there is absolutely no one else in the lab. I know it's after hours, but there's no security. Oh, there was. I speak lies. Well, certainly not in the main hall, then.
Is that hallway real as well?
I don't know.
There's some artificial sunlight going on in here, too.
Oh. We're treading into Anderson territory.
So in 2005, we had what was it called? Terra Grigia, which was crazy, and this damn place.
Yeah.
That it looks like Balham Garden. It's just something from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it is actually, isn't it?
It's just a garden from Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah.
I feel like the fucking Galbardians are going to attack any minute now.
They're watering their virus plants.
Mm. Yeah, cup it.
Do not step on the virus plants.
Do not pick and ingest the virus plants.
And Claire's just like, wait, what did that say? That say virus? Oh, don't worry about that, Claire. That's just our they're just our virus plants.
Don't worry, it's not how I made this cup of tea.
cup of tea is your clue, solid, isn't it?
Solid trap tea. I feel like Downing is British. I feel like he is.
Oh yeah, he's a villain. Ooh.
He's played by Crispin Freeman, I think, who is a well-known voice actor.
But he's doing like a British voice on.
Hmm. Which he plays Togusa in the Ghost in the Shell stuff.
Yeah, it is Crispin Freeman.
When he plays Alucard in Helsing, he puts on like kind of a British sounding voice in that as well.
All right.
He has to because it's in Britain.
Does he sound the same in this then?
Very similar.
Yeah.
He just needs to start calling Claire police girl and he'll be Alucard. Any Helsing fans will know exactly what I'm on about there, who's watching this.
See the PC tech that looked accurate. Quite a thick screen. The mobile phone seemed accurate. The flip phone back in 2005.
Yeah, because they weren't that far removed from it at the time. So
that's true. Yeah,
it's not like remakes now where they're doing 1998 and there's USB drives and flat panel.
It existed in 1998 though. USB drives did.
Just, I think we had a discussion on this. Just.
Yeah, not to mess market. Extremely expensive. Mm. Not to the point where you just keep finding them everywhere.
Leon has mastered the art of standing so very, very still that he appears invisible.
Okay, Drax, you settle down there. We could see you, Leon. Ah, Curtis. You were happy just a few hours ago.
I don't know him, but I feel he's an asshole. No, I like Angela. I think she's quite a cool character.
She should have been in RE6. I think Sean is right there. Mm. She should have been the character with... I love Helena, don't get me wrong. I think she's a darling. But I think it would have fit better for the narrative for it to be Angela.
The thing is as well, with like, you know, her having an equally... a sibling that's tied to the main plot like this, they even like repeat similar story beats.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it's Chris.
Yeah, you could have changed the Deborah storyline to something else. Or
kept Laura Bailey.
Well, she's in it anyway, isn't she? So.
Didn't we get another flashback here pretty soon?
Yes, you do. G-Virus? Nice flashback.
Now Claire B confirmed. That... Thank you very much.
Yes, that's Claire B, yeah. Yes, you're a Leon A. Claire B. subscriber, right?
I'm not. I acknowledge Claire A. and Leon B. is the canon, but I prefer the play of events with Leon and Claire B. Leon A. Claire B.
So it's entirely feasible, I've realised, that Ron Davis would have known Simmons and spoken with Simmons.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. They came on the same board, weren't they?
They were on the same committee, yeah. So they could have easily known each other.
You just feel that in Remake 2, they could have even mentioned Downing. Don't start me off.
But no, we can have Wayne Lee instead, Nick.
Yeah.
It's a good connection.
Could have set up some threads to...
Meanwhile, while Claire's out getting shit done, Leon's still just wandering around the wilderness of Harvardville.
This is a date. at their family home that got burned down by the crazy brother.
The whole city.
This shouldn't be romantic, really, because it's like, it's clearly like kind of implied the tone is like, oh yeah, they kind of want a date in a way, and it's like, well, your brother's kind of nuts and he burned down your home and.
Yeah, well, unleash zombies.
What you're forgetting, gents, is that Leon has a magnetic personality that just exudes.
While being a plank of wood, you mean?
Harvardville's not infected, though. It was the airport.
Well, there's lots of fires.
Was that so far? Yeah, perhaps.
Claire has gorgeous eyes in this.
It's a very nice shot.
Is this Alison Court's last main appearance?
She's done another since this, surely.
No, I don't think she has. Because the next time Claire appeared was Revelations 2 and she was... Oh, no, Dark Side was after. Yes.
Yeah.
So Dark Side was last Dark.
I think it's a nice sort of like crossover kind of thing of that with Ron Davis and that committee. They were on like the same like committee as the fucking KFC guy.
Seems quite unreasonable that she managed to survive a blast, cut away half the wall that she was where she was standing.
She's got that plot.
Literally just plot armor, yeah. Not a scratch, not a piece of dust.
I think it's one of my favourite moments in Vendetta that they kind of acknowledge it. Chris acknowledges it, that obviously he's indestructible. And when I think Rebecca says, "Are you going to wear a hazmat suit or something?" And he's like, "No." By that point in Chris's life, he can just assume, "I'm not going to get infected."
If I was going to get infected, I would have got infected.
It's like the ending of Die Hard with all the bombs falling down.
Ooh, nasty.
She's the fenster.
Oh yeah, forgot the one piece of glass that she managed to get.
First aider should know she should not pull that out.
Yep, because you might be in an artery or something. You don't know.
Thank you for that. See, top tips from the Resident Evil podcast.
I wonder if that's a reference to Terminator.
It could well be, actually. Yeah, the ending of Terminator. That sounds like Mary Elizabeth McGlynn over the PA.
I think it is.
Sure would know that coming from his Ghost in the Shell marathon.
Serious.
And she does reprise her role in Resistance.
Oh yeah, that's really good.
We haven't missed the Claire wink yet, but no, that's coming up, isn't it?
No, yeah, it's just right at the end.
I need to save that as like a GIF.
It's probably the most famous thing that's come out of Degeneration, isn't it? The Claire wink. It must be coming up now, actually, I think.
There's probably one of those moments in all three of these CG rooms. I definitely know the one in Rebecca's like really awkward thumbs up.
I love that thumbs up in Vendetta, though.
Oh, that Rebecca does?
Yes, it's like...
Typical awkward one.
I love Rebecca in that movie. That's a relatable character right there.
You want to, she's the only thing good about it.
I remember watching this for the first time and being so pleased that they weren't going Plagueis or other directions. It was just T-Virus and G-Virus. It was something we all knew. Nice, comfortable territory.
I wouldn't lie. I had a massive smile on my face all the way through this. I thought this was wicked. And, you know, I'm having a blast watching it now.
We should do Damnation when the time comes.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I think you would agree the tyrants in that movie were like, why are we not making these things?
Yeah.
They're so strong. Like, you wouldn't need to, like, send human soldiers out to fight any war somewhere or whatever, you know, just send two of those in.
Oh god, it is Chris, isn't it? It's identical.
He kind of got his wish in the start of Ori 6, when you think about it. Shame he didn't live to see that day.
Yeah, I mean, there's a nice continuity. And one of the things that I like about, you know, the Raccoon City incident is that it influences everything that comes after it.
And affected so many lives.
It's just a shame that Terra Grisha doesn't quite get the same attention it should, because that went on for 3 weeks.
And it's that just got kind of brushed over. Wasn't that like Europe's Raccoon City when you think about it? Terra Grisha.
It was just as bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it said it went on for 3 weeks with Tier Abyss creations and hunters wiping out an entire city. Leading to the anyway, we're digressing. This is a good moment. I think I remember getting a bit worried about this point. I was going, "Oh God, are they going to follow? Will they follow the lore of the G virus?" Because he could have mutated into anything at this point.
Yeah,
you know, and it could have been like.
I think his G mutation's pretty awesome.
I think what it's. Fun.
I think it's visually very good.
Is taking like his coat and jacket off, so he's like shirtless, and they'd be like, "Right, I'm ready." Yeah,
I feel like it's still far too instantaneous.
It is, yeah.
Again.
Oh, what in comparison to Bert William?
It does.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of G2, isn't it? I suppose. With G1s are just about a hulking mass with a crowbar, whereas he's already at the kind of claw tyrant-esque stage. Here it comes.
To be fair,
here it comes. There it is.
To be fair, with Curtis here, he'd already injected the virus like ages ago, didn't he? Really, because if you look at the empty vial's been there for a while.
Mm.
Yeah, but it still doesn't make sense that he just goes from human to like that far.
Yeah. This is quite highly sought after. Piece of memorabilia, isn't it? The Curtis G creation statue you can get in Japan, I think.
I don't think I've ever seen that, Nick. I'll have to look that up.
Mm. I think it was a special edition they did, and it came with this.
When he starts mutating later, the actual like G head he gets, it just looks wicked. It's very different to Birkin's one.
Hey, yeah, we got him. He's dead. Good job, boys. We got him.
And I think they get the G virus right in also like in Dead Aim as well. I think they get that right as well. But with this, it feels, even though he's different to William, it still feels like a proper G creation.
Every time he takes big damage, it just brings him back further mutated. Yeah, it's really good. It's very faithful. This is.
Whereas you know something like Vendetta, it's difficult with it. Go
on. I was just going to say, it would have made more sense if he transformed to that and shot him before he transformed, like he charged at them.
But whereas my comparison is to say the Vendetta tyrant with Arius. Although it's quite a cool-looking tyrant, it's hard to explain quite how or why that happened just by merging with whatever his name is. You know, it didn't make a lot of sense.
Diego, was it?
Diego, yeah, I think it didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, you have to read Batman's timeline to actually know why that happened. There is a logical reason, apparently. But it's difficult to explain, whereas I think they got this right. Because I think anyone there'll be no standard way of anyone who injects themselves with G virus would probably react differently. They wouldn't all look like Birkin G1 or G. You know.
I think that Mick Curtis's, like, his first form looks great, and then it goes a bit weird in the second one, where it's like, hang on a minute, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, it's...
I can't remember. I'm going to be pleasantly surprised.
It's
I can't
a very
remember.
Thin form. It's less sort of bulbous and tumour-ridden than Birkin's.
Right.
But like I say, I really do like the G head he gets. It's like a weird, creepy-looking skull.
Skull face. That's a pretty cool, like, OP walk he's doing. Mm.
Slow motion makes it better. Really?
Well, of course, a big theme of G, of course, is family and that kind of thing. So it's good to have Angela here, I think, for it.
It's creepy enough for a CG movie. I think it's creepy enough. You know, the way the eye's done really well.
Mm.
Like, this is the part where people who understand the G-virus and how it works is like, oh, right, that's right. He's going to want to fuck her.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not exactly in those terms.
We know what you mean, Joe. We know what you mean.
We know what you mean.
Look, I'm a huge pervert, right? I will go places. I will plumb the depth.
I just realised as well that Leon manages to get a handy item drop just before a big monster. He's just found an awesome grenade launcher there, and he finds a rocket launcher in the tyrant battle in Damnation.
Yeah. I'm guessing the grenade launcher was part of the guys that he was killing. That's hard.
Do you know how plot armor is a thing? Do you think plot weapons are another thing as well?
I just think this film's more gamey, if you know what I mean. It's set up as if it is almost like a complete game, but in CGI, as opposed to perhaps Damnation doesn't quite go like that. It's more filmy.
30 frames per second for that authentic cinema experience.
That's not a discredit. I think Degeneration on the whole is probably the best one out of all three.
I think it easily is, to be honest.
Degeneration.
I like Damnation. I like Damnation quite a bit, but it's very removed.
It is very gamey as well. Degeneration, Resident Evil Degeneration, exciting action game.
I don't think there'll be anyone out there who says Vendetta's the best of the three. Put it like that.
I don't think I've ever seen Vendetta.
Except maybe Vito. I'm sure he does. Vito, hit us up.
We'll put a call out on the Discord.
It's the best animated film of the lot.
Because I know Vito does like Vendetta a lot, actually, thinking about it.
It's got its moments. Anyway, we'll talk about that the next when we do them.
I would laugh at the, like, oh man, what is this stuff? It's like, it's just water. It's literally just water, dude. Oh, I don't like it, whatever it is. I just told you it's water.
Just remember,
if all exits are now sealed, why not just ignite it straight away? Like, you've literally doused everything, you've locked all the doors, just do it straight away.
You need to find the lighter first.
Dum, dum, dum.
So this is going to sound really weird, but you know that, like, mutation of the foot there, the leg? Mm-hmm. Don't you think it looks like a fucking turkey leg?
It's a gamma.
It's like a turkey leg.
This lift scene's grim. It's probably got the best bit of gore in the entire movie, and it's barely got any in it at all, but you just see a blood-ridden lift with just blood dripping down. I think it's very, very icky.
Oh, yeah, very skeletal G.
That was a cool transition with his face.
Yeah, love it. I think it's an awesome G-monster, this.
I don't need that old face anyway. I got a new one now. Looks cooler. What do you think, Leon?
Tail.
It just goes to show, outside the constraints of the games, if you were to run into one of these, or the Damnation Tyrant or whatever, you'd be fucked. You'd have absolutely no chance, no matter what weapons you had.
She just look at Angela and be like, hey, Angela, would you fuck this? I'd fuck this.
The face reminds me of the mother creature from Braindead.
What does it remind you of, sorry?
The mother from Braindead or Dead Alive. Peter Jackson's zombie film. I went so the face starts to fall.
Oh, he's having like a field day up there with those guys. Like, he's just loving it.
Yeah.
Because you think, oh, maybe they're all dead because he just like, you know, slam the elevator, but he's like, nah,
I'm making sure.
Gonna... oh, God.
He's got a slight Juavo face, actually, isn't it?
A little bit, actually, yeah.
But it still feels like a G one, a very different type of G. I said very, very skeletal.
He looks like an enemy from Monstrum.
I don't know what that is.
It's a survival, it's like a hot, spooky game.
No, it's that shot. I think it's suitably grim. Mm.
You don't really fully see what's happened in there, do you?
That's why it's great, I think.
Less is more.
Off-screen violence is the best violence you can do.
Yeah, let your imagination do the rest.
Mm.
Oh, I always do. Ow, my eye.
Why did he become Mr. Plinkett all of a sudden?
Leon was actually aiming for his hand.
Yeah.
Thanks for the understatement, Leon. Curse was dead a long time ago. Telling her.
Yeah.
Sure she didn't realize.
So this is the self-destruct timer and that kind of thing.
I also like the fact that he threw the knife, which gave the monster like pause, and he didn't like grab her and run straight away. They just like stood there so he could talk, mansplain it to her, and then countdown.
Love it. No.
When did you two go diving together?
I still think like Curtis should have been in the water with them, just like floating around down there. Like he made it out to. He gives a thumbs up, like I made it too, guys. We're safe. We got out of the building.
Oh no, they've been underwater for like 5 seconds. He's straight there. No, you need more air. You need more air, love. And it's like I'm all right. I've probably got another 30 seconds left. No, more air. We must.
Hey.
That fireball's definitely real, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You'll eat your word. You're going to eat your words at the end. I say it.
that G monster was real. They made that.
They made it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you guys feel about what they've done to Claire? Because she has just been basically bumped to a bit player in her own movie, hasn't she? Mm.
More maps for you there.
I don't mind those maps because at least it explains what's going on. It's not like the Paul W.S. Anderson one where it's just like there to try and get us between two places. Like all of a sudden if the stuff started falling you'd be like, why is it all falling? The map tells you that's fine.
What they should have done is like, you know how he kisses Angela in the water to like give her oxygen, whatever the hell, like imagine if like Curtis was down there too. And then he turns around in the water and then gives him air in the same way, gives him a kiss. That'd be nice.
That water's pretty good for 2000.
Yeah, it's good.
But they're completely unrealistic that he shot the glass with one bullet. Here is perfectly fine though.
And he reverts straight back to the Leon pose, doesn't he?
Yeah, the T pose.
He's absolutely upright.
And now they're dry.
Now they're dry. Yeah, they are. Leon should know. It takes a lot to kill a G creation.
Guilty pleasure sequence coming up. I do think the sequence of the falling sections is really well done as a set piece.
Mm. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, absolutely ridiculous.
Absolute bonkers.
Which is the same thing you were saying before. If they do drop, why don't they just drop? Like,
yeah.
Why do you need a countdown and like and do it in sections?
I don't think I like the second design of Curtis. He looks like a stick insect.
Mm.
Mm.
It's really his nest.
El Nesto.
17.
I see what you mean now, actually, Sean. How like Leon's like the action, like Claire's the woman in the chair, and you know, it's like I wish that she was out there doing all the cool action stuff.
But it's not. I suppose they're doing it on the basis it's not really her role anymore. Her job.
Yeah.
She's like the pacifist almost. But she's still saving the day indirectly, just doing it.
You know.
I don't object to it. I think it's
And the funny thing is, like, I can see, you know, OG 98 RE2 Claire becoming this character, but I can't see Remake 2 Claire becoming this character.
No. That's what made Claire, in my opinion, one of my favourite characters in Resident Evil, like, original War 2. I'd still my favourite character, because if you look at Chris and Jill, they were police officers, they were trained, right? So they had that kind of backstory to them.
Yep.
Whereas Claire was a college student. And I think when you take ordinary characters and place them into extraordinary situations, that's when you get some really great storytelling. And I think that's a lot of fun, in my opinion, when you do that. It's what makes like high school dramas and such very interesting, when you put them in outlandish situations. Ordinary people.
Yeah, it's why a lot of people
Leon's running is ridiculous. And also, how did he survive being slammed?
Oh, he won the parkour world championships the year before.
It's ace.
He's not even looking at it. He's like, he's not even going, whoa, this is tough. It's not. He's got so much Botox.
I was watching that, and I kept, like, I had my fucking PS4 controller in my hand because I was expecting button prompts to
come. It is done like a sequence from and they even marketed that shot of him running and sliding underneath the bars, and that was used in all the trailers, I seem to remember, and it did just look like it was an outtake from Resident Evil 4. It's worth saying as well that Claire in this game is before they essentially like rewrote the backstory of her character a little bit. Darkseid established the fact that Chris trained her in a lot of like combat and things, and that was taken into Remake a lot more, that idea of Claire, and I think it's made her character arguably a bit more boring in that she's just sort of Chris Mark 2, whereas OG 98 RE2 Claire, Code Veronica Claire, and this Claire feels very much like her own character.
Yeah, as John said, that's why a lot of people love Claire for that precise reason.
This is interesting in the sense that he's looking at the photo because he recognizes something about the photo. So how much of his humanity is left inside this giant creature? We were talking about this on the last episode in regards to like zombies and stuff like that. Fighting himself.
I think the eye's really good here, because the eye's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. He's like, that's not supposed to happen. That didn't happen with Birkin. What's going on here?
He found his daughter. He did the business. What are we doing?
I don't know about that.
Nick always manages to find a way to go further than just arrest, doesn't he?
Like, how'd that happen? It's like I have the moral high ground. I'm like, ooh.
It's like, over, Neptune. I have the high ground.
You underestimate the G-virus.
Where did he get just this randomly spawning tentacle? It's as bad as the Arius claws that extend in at the end of Vendetta.
G's got tentacles by G5, I suppose.
He didn't do it at all. Oh, it's his tail, isn't it? Actually,
how was he holding on with that monster? That thing must weigh like 3 tons.
Well, again,
yeah, this is stupid. This bit
round his leg. But this is after tail. Also he got picked up and slammed through the air and smacked into a wall.
It happens again in Damnation, though, doesn't it? Tyrant literally throws itself. It.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, that does. It comes a consistent thing.
Laura Bailey plays Black Widow in a few of the Marvel games, and this is just like Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Is she doing the new Avengers game?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I think she is, isn't she?
I think you're right, yeah. Fun fact, Laura Bailey also voices Jaina Proudmoore in World of Warcraft.
Oh, nice slow-mo.
Slow-mo bullet.
Wonderful.
At least it doesn't have the Umbrella logo on the bottom. Come on.
Well, it wouldn't make sense.
I'm sorry, but my dance card is full.
Like, that would make any sense. Like, the one bullet in the face was going to stop it from keeping its tail attached. Like,
they shoot the tail at least.
No,
how strong
sense.
Is Leon? Like, I can understand him holding up Angela, sure, but that monster is like 3. I still can't get my head around that.
At least 8 foot tall, wasn't it? No, 10 foot.
Why is his hair hanging down?
And did anyone else?
Why is it still going down to his face?
Because it's stiff like a board, like him.
It's,
like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
We're nitpicking.
Here's the thing, right? You know how those platformers were counting down and lower and dropping? Isn't it like the fucking, was it the U3 fight? Whatever it's called.
U8.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a good call, actually.
Yes.
Visually quite similar. With Leon just getting off a section as it drops behind him.
And a big scary monster chasing him around at the same time.
That's actually a really good shout there. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some intent like that. Oh, that bit was nonsense, isn't it?
It's like poetry. It rhymes. You know, every time it rhymes.
Well, we've established
Leon's eternal injuries from slamming into the ground. Smacked into the ground.
When we get on to Damnation, it gets even more ridiculous when he's fighting the tyrants.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Because, yeah.
He's got a spine made of. Yeah, he's Wolverine, really.
They're literally unmarked, aren't they? No scuffs, no cuts.
Not even any dust. Although they did go for a swim.
Well, yeah. But... It's this costume more than the one in 4 that really highlights how similar his is to Bruce's.
Yes, it does. Yeah, very similar. Yeah. Same kind of colour coordination and...
I just wish they'd have a canon entry which names Leon's unit at that era Stratcom. It would just be perfect.
Because you got to kind of link it and go, yeah, it must be the same. It's not quite on the...
I think this movie would have been better if it was Bruce McGiven.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
This is awkwardly far too long.
It is, yeah.
I like how... Excuse me, I like how Downing's like been gone for a while.
Nobody cares. They're just like, oh, did he die in the bomb explosion? Because Claire doesn't know that. Leon does. Well, because of what I was said earlier.
Big
oh no, Leon doesn't even know.
No.
Only Angela knows.
Hold on, doesn't Downing make some like really silly like kind of noise when he gets caught or something at the end? Or gets held up or whatever. Like, he makes some stupid, like, goofy sound. I'm sure I remember that. Unless it was in one of the bloopers.
So, I want you to fight the G, and then I'll record the combat data.
Perfect.
I've not finished that game. I don't know how many times I have to repeat myself.
So long, Arsie.
That, well, yeah, so that's combat data being recorded of G, which is what they were, yeah. which everyone seems to want for some reason.
Here comes the sleaze master himself.
Senator Joe Biden, I expected more from you. Davis a presidential candidate as well?
He's not.
Could have been. Imagine him as the president.
See, this is the true backstory of the Resident Evil series, stock markets.
The way he said, wait a minute, he sounded like Alex Jones.
He's not that much of a baddie, is he?
He sounds.
Is it a double Alex bluff? Jones. Yeah, because it makes you think he's a total baddie, but he's just a bit of a baddie, isn't he?
Oh, he's a politician.
Maybe. He's a politician, yes. Yeah,
dun, dun, dun. Well, I just know when Leon came across this information. Like, he just seems to know.
Yeah.
When everyone looked up there, it should have stood, just see Downing standing on that like monument, just looking down at him like a Batman villain. Some smoke or something.
That's a hell of detective work from Claire here.
Yeah, she's very good.
Well, you say detective work, but just a hell of an assumption.
Yeah.
But obviously a correct assumption, but
well, you know, assumption of the mother of all fuck-ups.
Okay. Okay, Everett McGill.
Thank you.
That dude is totally a real-life Nikolai in that
movie. He is. Yeah, that's why I said it.
It is good to see, actually, because it's always been a big thing in the series, isn't it, about combat data and that being sold. It's good to actually see it actually being referenced, shown, and what it, you know, and why people want it.
Sure, no question. Alan Partridge, the way you said that, it's like, yeah, that's why I said that thing.
Yeah. I'm going to continue to agree with you, Nick, on the because he's English and because he's a smoking cigarette, so he's clearly a bad guy.
He's served a cup of tea, he's kind of told the story, he's British, he's driving a Jaguar S-car.
Smoking cigarettes. Yeah. I mean, doesn't have to be British, it should be European in general.
If you want a reoccurring villain for this series, here you go.
Yeah, why not?
He's smoking as well, and that always looks cool.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying.
Exactly. This has been censored in the Western version, though.
What was changed?
No, I was joking, because I was just referring to to Chris's
opening, yeah. Yeah, there might have been more smoking in the Japanese here.
That looked like a good effect when he was like the car headlights and the cigarette smoke. He does do the noise. He just like a. There it is.
No.
It's a shame because when he started that scene started out. I was like, okay, he's kind of got like a cigarette smoking man from X-Files kind of vibe going on. And you think, okay, he's very calm, he's very confident. And so then he just kind of jobs out the moment the heroes turn up. And
I think all of us, I'll speak for everyone, it's just pleasing that he didn't randomly mutate into something. I mean, you're almost expecting it, aren't you? I think it was pleasing.
Yeah, I mean, he's here back to take up the vendetta in the third part of the trilogy. Oh, wait.
No.
That's where he would have mutated.
Where he would have mutated.
Yes. I don't know why Shot is where the movie should have ended.
I do not like this bit, Rob.
Just.
I like it. I like it for Claire and Leon again.
So she's had time to change, but the other two have not.
Doesn't Nicholson Leon continues have that Leon jacket, or is it the RE6 one he has?
He's got the RE6 one.
He looks great in that.
Oh, Leon's kind of moving a little bit in this.
Oh, yeah. His hands are moving a little bit.
That's his arms and hands are moving, and he's turning his head a little bit. He's like the most animated he's been all movie.
Well, it's clearly quite windy, but he's no, I'm not. My head does not move in this wind. Angela's does, but mine does not.
This is a bit of an exposition drop, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I'm not a big fan of it. It's like just dumps all this last bit of information about like what was going on. Just because they didn't get the rest of the plot in.
This would be a file in a Resident Evil game, wouldn't it?
Here's what
more than one file.
What they should have done differently is have this happen just after like the escape and everything like that, and then Leon be like, "We don't know where Downing is. There's a manhunt for him. We're trying to find him, bring him to justice, whatever." And then post credits, you have the scene of Downing on the phone talking to someone, and we don't know who it is. By his car soaking, and that will be your post-credit Marvel action movies thing.
Well, we do have a post-credit scene, don't we?
I think we do.
The end scene.
No, I don't think it's before the credits.
Oh, is it before? Okay.
Yeah.
Apologies. More like, I've not watched it for quite a while.
Like an ending phone call, like in Metal Gear Solid or something. Like yes.
Leon still looks horrible.
He's not attractive in this movie. Like,
I'm sure all these shots are, like, real. Kind of. They're, like, photographs.
I just realised that's the wrong statement. This is the wrong audience for that kind of statement in this call. I need BB Mac in here. He'd understand.
He's a big Leon fan, bless him.
He is.
This is all real, I'm sure. I'm 99.9% sure this is. This is all real life stuff composited them into it.
I love how kind of like.
Yeah, it's not CGI. Claire. That's real. I'm having that. I'm not having that. I'm having that.
He's kind of jealous that they were. Till next time, you handsome stallion.
You see, this is what I like, though. I like these little moments between characters. This is what makes the series for me.
Run again.
Yeah. But those little bits, they make the series for me now.
They do.
And there's not enough of them. That's the most frustrating thing. That too often, characters with no connections get paired up and.
Do you guys hear that Resident Evil 2 leitmotif there? Piano?
Yeah. It's nice.
Little touch.
Oh, I remember this because there was so much
talk about X-Files scene.
Yeah. Everyone was looking
at the first name drop of our new corporation moving in.
God in a game.
This was the RE5 RE5 setup.
Who killed him now is the interesting question.
Well, I think even Batman alludes in his mythology that it could be either a suicide or an assassination.
Yeah,
I'd say assassination.
Yeah.
I think assassination made to look like a suicide, I think.
And this was touted as being, you know, this is a semi prequel to RE5.
Yeah, it was.
And
the G virus is going to be in Resident Evil 5. Yeah, well, I mean, it's mentioned, isn't it? It's one of the viruses that
make Ouroboros, isn't it?
Well,
no, it's not part of Ouroboros. I can't remember.
No, it's not.
It's really fat in the suit.
No, it's the oxygen tank but underneath the hazmat.
It can't be that big. Either way.
White suit.
Well, there we go. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of Degeneration. So here come the credits, where you can just admire some of it. Yes, Mary Elizabeth McGlynn. Yes, good show.
Yeah. As the aunt as well.
Played the aunt as well. Yeah.
Yeah, very good, very good.
And look at those other names. Troy Baker's in there.
There's the Mogan's
in there.
Again, other people that did turn up.
Hang on a minute. One of the names is Derek Mears. He's a big name.
Is he?
I've not heard of him.
Derek Mears is a... He does a lot of stunt work, and he plays like often huge characters like Jason in the Friday the 13th movies and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll just see... I'll rewind the credits back just so we can see. I just was interested to see who it was.
So there we go. So concluding thoughts, everyone. Rob.
I think for a movie that came out in 2008, it held up pretty well visually. Some stuff that obviously we've made jokes about, but character animation on the faces, barring Leon, is good. The story's good and bad, I guess. I still question, and I think this is the thing I didn't really say at the start, is like, as you were kind of just alluding to right at the end, the idea of connecting it to Resident Evil 5, I still kind of question who this was actually supposed to be for, other than just making a movie kind of is almost self-contained in a little barring.
But it obviously did well enough for them to make, like, two more movies that are like animated movies,
but again they're both mostly self-contained.
Yeah, you could argue this is one of the first at this point. You had RE4, which was at that point very self-contained. This was the second bit of self-containing, if you like, and it will kind
Mary,
of like
Mary, sorry syndrome. Mary Elizabeth McGuinn was the ADR director.
It kind of carried on from this, really. Damnation was too self-contained, and then you just got too many games and media that took a long time for everything to kind of bring it back. Well, it took to bring everything back together, I think.
I guess the one thing that I wanted to also think about is obviously it brought up, you know, having Umbrella back into the franchise to try and connect that tissue and what had happened kind of post Raccoon City a bit more, which obviously Resident Evil 4 and 5 somewhat had shied away from, and 5 kind of kept it as a quiet, hidden part of itself. So it was kind of good to see that as well.
Did you guys see Inafune's name there? In the credit? And Scott Dolph?
Yep.
He was involved in this.
Well, that is the end of the credits there. So that does bring our audio commentary to an end. I hope everyone's had a nice time and enjoyed our our input into this.
Please ask Sean and...
I was going to say,
rather than just asking me, and then we can run over now the movies are over.
Yeah. John, what was your overall view of this entry?
It's been a long time since I've watched it, and I think I have to kind of mirror what Rob said, that, you know, who's the audience for this, right? Because there's obviously your fans that are like what sort of stuff, but I don't know. I think it was just they just do silly things in Japan, don't they, for the hell of it. They're like, yeah, let's just make a movie about this, let's make a theme park based on Resident Evil for the hell of it. I think it's a vanity project, I think is what it is.
Oh,
for Capcom and their franchise. Like, hey, look how crazy and whatever. Like they made that haunted house, didn't they? In
there's been a few of them,
which again, like, yeah, you're promoting the game, but it feels like it's just a vanity project, a vehicle just to be like, hey, look at our successful game, and
we've now got a CGI film to go with it.
And now CGI, this feels.
But did you enjoy it though? I think it's quite good though. I like the story. As I said, as I was going through it, I thought the fact that it was is a bit over the top, but it was grounded within within the reality of the franchise. It felt natural. You know, it wasn't ridiculously over the top. Like,
I think it was inoffensive.
Yes,
and I think that it's not going to win any Oscars. Not intended to. It's going to be panned by critics. No one's really going to be like, oh yeah, it's amazing, whatever. But to sit down with a bunch of friends and sort of, you know, who were fans of a series, hey, I can maybe just answer my own only question. What is the film? Who is it for? People like us, I guess. Just people that are going to sit here and, you know, have a chat about it and have... I had fun watching it. I enjoyed it. It's silly, it's goofy. Like Resident Evil 6, right? That's something that you just have fun with it. Just have fun with video games, and this is no different.
What about you, Sean? What's your overall opinion, having watched it for the first time in 7 years?
Yeah, I mean, I completely echo what the other two have just said. It has no real sort of impact in the rest of the series, despite the fact that obviously it was labelled as a Resident Evil 5 prequel, if you like. But I just enjoy these slices of, you know, other storylines, and the fact that I can actually sit for 90 minutes and watch a movie with Resident Evil in its title and it not be awful. I take a lot from that. You know, I get a big kick out of this movie, actually. I've thoroughly enjoyed it watching it now. It's still, you know, still for me, has solidified itself tonight as being the best of the three. I think, you know, it's, every time we see Alison Court as Claire is an absolute delight.
Yes.
And again, it's those little character interactions that I take the most. And I think this movie has certainly at least a good couple of them, you know, where I would say that's a highlight of the movie for me. I like that. So yeah, I would probably, if you were to ask me out of 10, Nick, I'd probably give it a solid 8 out of 10. It's harmless, but very enjoyable.
Fantastic. You know, absolutely. I would agree. I probably the best one out of the three, and I like the fact that he got a little bit of love with kind of like the supplemental material as well, Angela's Diary. And as I said, if you Google like the pre-order stuff, they did the statue of the G creation and things like that. Got those couple of mobile games as well, just to make it a bit more, you know, it felt a bit more special than perhaps the others did at the time. So kudos.
These like side movies and the like Degeneration, I think they exist purely so that when there's like a video game discussion going on and there's like everyone's pretty much played Resident Evil games and they're like, oh yeah, there's this character and that character and I like this sort of thing. This movie and those like these supplemental movies exist so that one fucking nerd who's in the group could say, well, actually, Leon met this person at this place and they did this whole thing here and this happened that ties into like the rest of the games. And everyone's like, oh, no one cares about these games as much as you do. How I could find the shotgun.
So basically the backstory of every Resident Evil fan ever.
Yeah. There we go. On that bombshell, then, we will leave you all for the rest of your day or night, depending on when you're listening to our commentary. So next up, I think we will be probably looking into heading back into the world of Paul Anderson films, so brace yourself for that. But you feel free to check out the other audio commentaries we have on Podbean and YouTube, and I will bid thee farewell. So it's goodbye from me, Neptune.
Goodbye from me, Stars Tyrant.
Goodbye from me, Rumby.
It's goodbye from me, Mr. Spencer.